I want to talk with you this morning about hope. Hope is so necessary in our lives today because we live in a world that wants to seem like it's hopeless. A world that seems like it's just weary and has no place to go. But for the Christian, there is hope. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, "This hope we have as an anchor, both sure and steadfast." He's talking about the hope that when we're in times of trouble and times of trial, we know the promises that God has made and that God's promises are true, and we keep on holding on to the hope no matter what faces us. I've come up with my own definition of hope, and I like to define hope as anticipation with expectation. That is, I'm anticipating this coming true, but I also expect it to come true. I believe it's going to come true. And for the Christian, if our hope is in the promises of God, it will come true. And that's what we want to talk about and look at this morning as we discuss the idea of hope. There's a rather classic book that most people are at least somewhat acquainted with, Dante's Inferno. And in Dante's Inferno, he tells about over the gates of hell, there's a sign that reads, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." You see, when you die, if you have nothing to hope for but hell, there's nothing to hope for. There is no comfort in death without Christ. There is no comfort in death that does not have the promise of everlasting life. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, talking about when we were Gentiles, that we were outside of the promise of Christ before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He says, "At that time you were without Christ and being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." There was a time, there is a time, there is still the reality that without Christ there is no hope. When you look at all that's going on in this world, we need something to hope for, someone to hope in, someone to believe in, and that there is a better place than this, and that there's a Savior to take us away. Years ago, there used to be an old commercial on television, and it was, for lack of a better description, I'm going to say a frou-frou commercial. It's kind of a girly commercial. And it was for Calgon bath oil beads. And some of you may not even know I don't know if they even exist anymore. But if you would run your tub of water and you would put the Calgon in there, it would solve all of your problems. And the tagline was, "Calgon, take me away from all this." And you just get in that Calgon, you're going to get out of the tub. The water's going to get cold. The problems are going to be there. The only way to get out of this world with hope is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that He is the risen Son of God, and that He's promised us that He'll come back and it'll take us home. Without Christ, you are without hope. And so we want to just start with that as our premise. You see, the only comfort at death is the hope of heaven. When the Greeks talked about the word hope, they used it synonymous with the concept of confidence. That this is something I can count on. This is something I can believe on. This is something that's going to happen. And when we look at those who have confidence in Christ, those who are Christians, those that belong to Him, we have confidence of His glory because, number one, we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christians have been cleansed by the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing it all the time, but yet I ask, if you really believe it, doesn't it give you comfort? To have the words signed in blood, paid in full across all of our sins. We have that hope that the blood of Jesus is going to wipe out all of our sins. And not only that, Christians have the confidence because He was raised from the dead. We can hope in Christ because death could not hold Him, and death cannot have any power over us if we believe in Christ. Remember, hope is anticipation with expectation. We're going to get what we expect to get, which is that the promises of God are true. He's coming back to take His own home. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, surely I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, you may be also," John chapter 14. But when it comes to our hope in Christ, those who believe in Him are confident that there is a better place than this. I was over at the hospital twice in the birthing of this new baby that we've had. I usually make it once or twice. And the anticipation before the baby came was one thing. Everybody wanted Leanne to be okay. Everybody wanted the baby to be okay. Tyler, we already knew, had already fainted, so we didn't know what we were going to do with him. In fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they said, there's a chair, you have to sit there for the rest of the time. That's what they did with him. But once that baby got here, the mood changed from that anticipation to the fulfillment, the promises here. And to see that beautiful baby boy, and we've seen so many babies. I'm looking out across the congregation this morning and see so many that we've loved into this world and loved through this world. I believe the promises of God are true, and not only are babies born in the likeness and the image of God, but I believe that they're going to go home and be with God for all eternity at the end of the way. I believe that because He was raised, that I'm going to go to a better place than this, a beautiful place called heaven. So I want to talk with you about three or four different kinds, maybe five kinds of hope, depending on how much time we have this morning. The Bible talks about a good hope. You know, we can hope that something doesn't happen. I may say, I hope I don't fail the test. I hope I don't lose my job. I hope I don't lose my house. I hope all those things. But when we're talking about a Christian hope, we're talking about a hope that comes from the cross and promises of Jesus Christ. And that's a good hope. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 16 starting, Paul says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and the God and our God and Father who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. That's an important concept. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. May He comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Good hope. Hope that something good is going to happen. You can see it in the anticipation of a little child at Christmas time as it builds or his birthday comes. Good hope you can see in the face of a faithful Christian who knows that death is not an enemy, but it's an entrance into heaven. And one who can say, I've fought my fight. I've finished my course. I know that there's a crown laid up for me. Crown of righteousness, not for me only, but all for all those who love His appearing. That's a good hope that Paul describes. I read the story the other day of a little boy at a baseball game. And the game wasn't really going their way. He was in the dugout and a gentleman came up to the dugout and he said, what's the score? The little boy said, 18-0. And the man said, that's kind of discouraging, isn't it? And the little boy said, oh no, we haven't even been up to bat yet. He could look beyond the 18 runs and say, when we get there, we're going to succeed. When we get to heaven, there are times when it looks like things are going against us. But folks, we haven't been to heaven yet. We haven't passed over the river of life. We haven't entered in to the home of glory. And so God possesses and gives to His people by His grace good hope, a hope of something better. But the Bible also describes it as a living hope. It's not dead. It's not academic. It's not something that's put back that grandpa and grandma used to believe. It is living. It is alive. It is active today in your life. If it's not, it needs to be revived. Dead hope is no hope at all. Hope is that I'm going to get what God said I'm going to get, that I'm going to receive what God said I'm going to receive. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Living hope. While I am alive, I'm hoping for something better to come. While I am alive, I believe that the promises of God are true. And I believe it because Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. I believe it because the stone was rolled away. I believe it because the apostles saw Him ascend back into heaven. I believe it because He's coming back again. I live it every day because I hope that the promises of God are in my life and in yours. When we begin to look at a living hope, there are a number of things that we can talk about. We are born into a living hope because of these things. Number one, we have eternal life in the Savior who conquered death. Eternal life where all the former things are passed away, where there's no pain and suffering. But you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be a spiritual body and it's not going to be filled with physical malady. There's not going to be any tears that have to be wiped away because there's going to be nothing painful to this body because we're going to be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we know this because Jesus conquered death and we shall be as He is. You see, this is an inheritance incorruptible which can never fade away because it's reserved in heaven. This inheritance that we promise we have is in the abode of God Himself. It's a place being kept for us until we get there. This is a significant contrast to any inheritance that we have on earth. I remember when my father passed away some years back, and some of you have done this more recently than that, when we would go through the house and begin to decide what to do with this piece of furniture, with these books, with this thing. The books were dog-eared from where they had been read. The little computer he had was outdated by that time. The furniture was not new. You looked at it and you could tell time had taken its toll on our earthly possessions. But I suspect you can go at your house and look and find time's taken its toll on some of the things that we have today. But the inheritance that God promised is reserved in heaven. There is no corruption. There is no defilement. There is no lessening of the value of eternal life or the promise to be in the presence of God Himself. The actress Claire Luce is reported to have said that there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who've grown hopeless about them. I like that quote because it talks about the kind of hope that we need to have. But you know, the Bible also talks about a saving hope, a hope that will help save our souls. And that's what gives us the impetus to live the life for Christ that we need to live. In Romans 8 and verse 24, the Bible says, "We were saved in this hope." We accept Christ because of our hope of things in a better way, at a better time, and for all eternity. We face all the problems and struggles in this life because we hope that there's a better world than this that God has promised, where we can be reunited with those that love Him. We are saved in this hope of the promise of God. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul said, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of gospel." That's where our hope is. It's laid up in heaven. It's a hope that saves us. If you have no hope, you will not live for Christ. If you are hopeless, Satan is winning. If you don't have a vision of what God has promised, then you've got a vision of nothing. If the best you have to see in your future is a grave, then that's an empty promise. But God said there's a better place in this. And if you'll live in such a way as He's laid out for us to live, that we can be saved from this world, and because of what we hope for, we have a better world. And I guess as kind of an adjunct to that, the Bible talks about a purifying hope, a cleansing hope, a hope that makes us different from the rest of the world. When we begin to understand and to try to figure out what God wants for us, we need to know that by hope we can make ourselves pure. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, the apostle wrote and said, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." You see, this purification process is one that takes place when we're born again, but it's also something that we do for ourselves. We make choices. Choices of what we're going to put into our lives and what we're not going to put into our lives. Jesus even talked about it on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so we have this need of self-purification because of the effects that it has in this life and in eternity. So I want you to look at your own life and ask yourself, have I a hope that causes me to be pure? Having the anticipation of being with Jesus has a purifying effect. If you know that you have an important guest coming over, in all likelihood, you'll make sure that you have made preparations for the guest, that you're wearing your fine clothes, that you've taken a bath, that you've brushed your teeth, that you've cleaned your house, that you've prepared whatever. Anticipation, because this person is so important to me. Maybe it's your grandmother. Maybe it's somebody from work. Maybe it's the boss. They're coming over, and in anticipation of their coming, we're going to clean up around here. But you see, we're not talking about cleaning the house when it comes to the hope we have in Jesus. We're talking about cleaning up our lives. If you look around, can you see a lot of people who've messed up their lives pretty badly? Who've got a lot of sin that dirties up the future and the hope is dim because you can't see through the glass of hope? And that's why he talks about purifying. It makes us want to be ready for his return, for the time that he's coming back. We want to live a pure life so that when Jesus comes, we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." It also should make us want to serve him and to please him. Because he is the Son of God, because he is the Savior of the world, because he's the Christ of Calvary, I live in anticipation with expectation that he's coming back again. And I want my life to be right. I think the harshest statement in the Bible is when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed that work iniquity. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonderful works in your name? Depart from me. I never knew you." There's no hope in that statement. Because I hope, I trust in him. But let me suggest that the Bible also talks about a blessed hope. A blessing that's found in hope. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul is writing the young protege. He talks about looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope that he's coming back. The blessed hope that I can look for him to come back. Because when he comes back, he's coming back to take me home. Grace teaches us that we need to be prepared because of what God has done for us. And we need to prepare for the time that Jesus comes back. That's a blessed hope, a happy hope. You should, I should, Christians should live in eager anticipation of Jesus' coming back. If Jesus were coming back right now, if the clouds split open, how many would stand up and shout hallelujah? And how many would run and hide and ask the rocks to cover them? I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I can't wait for Judgment Day. And somebody says, "Well, Keith, are you that arrogant that you think you're that good?" Absolutely not. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is not because of me. My hope is because of him and what he's done for us. Of all the people who are living, of everyone who's on this planet, the Christian is the only person that has true hope. That life goes beyond what it has now. That there is a better place that we can see Jesus face to face. My question is this morning, do you have that blessed hope in you? And if not, why not? And what do you need to gain that hope in your life? Do you need to be born again? Do you need to have that saving hope that moves you to that initial place of salvation to where you have your sins washed away? As a believer penitent of sins, are you willing to confess him and be born again? And are you willing to live faithful till he comes back? And if you've fallen along the way, will you come back now and have the prayers of the church? If we can assist you this morning, if we can give you the hope that the Bible talks about, if we can share that hope with you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?